And finally, what do members of the spiritual community do for the world? You might think that a very pertinent question. Well, I could say something about the role of the spiritual community in world history. Could say something even about its significance for the total evolutionary process. But that would take us too far afield. And in any case, there's no time. So I shall confine myself to a few practical points, and then we shall have to conclude. First of all, however, I should like to make one thing clear. And that is that members of the spiritual community are not obliged to do anything at all for the world. The operative word here is obliged. Not obliged to do anything at all for the world. Whatever they do it quite freely. They do it because they want to. They do it because they like doing it, because they enjoy it. Not because they're obliged to. There's no obligation. They do it even as part of the process of their own spiritual development, their own spiritual life. In other words, to put it in a slightly different way, the spiritual community does not have to justify its existence to the world. The spiritual community doesn't have to show that it brings about social and economic improvements. It doesn't have to show that it's helpful to the government or the administration or the party in power. It doesn't have to show that it benefits the world in a worldly sense. In general, members of the spiritual community do two things for the world. First, they keep the spiritual community itself in existence. One might say that it's good for the world that such a thing as the spiritual community should simply be there. It's good for the world that it should be people around who are dedicated to the spiritual life, who are trying to develop skillful thoughts. Good because it helps develop a more wholesome atmosphere, as it were. But the spiritual community doesn't need to do anything in the worldly sense. And the members of the spiritual community don't need to do anything in the worldly sense. Second, members of the spiritual community help the world by building a bridge between the world and the spiritual community, or at least by laying down a few stepping stones. And how do they do this? Well, five or more of them get together, and together they conduct various spiritual activities. In other words, activities conducive to the development of skillful mental states. Activities which help people evolve. Evolve from the worldly plane to the mixed plane. Perhaps even from the mixed plane to the spiritual plane. Activities such as meditation classes, retreats, lectures, yoga classes, and courses in human communication. And these activities are open to anyone who cares to come along, anyone who cares to take advantage of them. And one doesn't have to join anything, one doesn't even have to pay any subscription. Now, a little while ago, I said that an offshoot of the Western Buddhist order had been established in New Zealand, that the spiritual community now existed in New Zealand too. But that is not all. We also have here in New Zealand a bridge between the world and the spiritual community. In other words, we have here in this country a local centre, indeed local centres, of what we call the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order. And in fact, as most of you know, we have one here in Auckland. In other words, we have a place where meditation classes are held, where instruction in meditation is given, where people can learn how to develop skillful mental states, where the path of the higher evolution can be studied. And as I expect you know, it's under the auspices of this Auckland Centre of the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order New Zealand that these lectures are being held. At the beginning of tonight's lecture, I said that I'd been in New Zealand 3 months to the very day. In the course of those 3 months, I've not been able to see very much of the country, not so much as I would have liked. I think I've seen rather more of the people, but though I've not seen very much of the country, I've seen enough to come to certain conclusions. I'm convinced that conditions, general conditions, social, economic, cultural, general conditions in New Zealand are highly favourable to the development of spiritual community, as favourable indeed as anywhere in the world. Perhaps even, I won't be too sure of this, but perhaps even more favourable than anywhere else in the world. To begin with, here in New Zealand you have a very agreeable climate. And coming as I do from England, where we have a far from agreeable climate, at least at times, I can fully appreciate that fact. Your way of life here is comparatively relaxed, comparatively easygoing. There's not too much pressure, not too much hurry and bustle, even in Auckland. And you've plenty of space. You've got a country just a little bigger than Great Britain, and there's only 3 million of you. Quite a lot of you, of course, congregated in Auckland and in Christchurch and in Wellington, and the rest thinly dispersed throughout the whole country. So plenty of space, plenty of fresh air. Again, something that's becoming rarer and rarer in the world. And as far as I've been able to make out, you've no internal tensions, I mean in the country at large. And you're not particularly weighed down by convention or tradition. I feel therefore that the path of the higher evolution, as I've tried to explain it in the course of these three Buddhist lectures, has potentially, i.e., if people make the effort, potentially a great future in this country. And I hope, therefore, that as many of you as possible will be able to take advantage of the facilities provided in this city by the FWBO. I hope that you will set foot on the bridge. I hope that you will develop more and more skillful thoughts. I hope that you will grow in contentment, in peace of mind, in love, and in knowledge. And I hope that you will come to know for yourselves the meaning of spiritual community.